Life's a game. The world's a stage, and we are merely role players where theatrical people play role-playing games. I'm Matt Boothman, and I'm your compere for this Main House production. Here on Merely Role Players, we improvise stories to entertain you and to entertain ourselves. And we use role-playing games to keep the story going places even we can't see coming, because we're theatrical people. We're all about maximising the drama. This is Act 1 of Vigil Tailor-Made, one of our Main House productions. The Main House is where we stage ongoing, serial stories, with characters and plots that develop and unfold over several productions. Vigil is the story of the outsiders and weirdos who step up to defend their neighbours from monsters and worse, after the government cuts their town's official team of paranormal investigators. To tell this story, we're playing Monster of the Week, a role-playing game by Michael Sands, published by Evil Hat. Tailor-Made is the 11th instalment in our Vigil story. You don't need to be caught up on the rest to enjoy Tailor-Made, but they do share a setting, characters, and some ongoing plot threads. Starting now, we'll be releasing a new act of Tailor-Made every other week, and to keep you going through the weeks in between, we'll sometimes release backstage episodes that give you a peek behind the scenes. Stay tuned for the first one of those next week. In the meantime, please take your seats in the main house. Tonight's production is about to begin. Vigil. A Merely Role Players main house production. Tailor-Made. Act 1 of 5. About 7 p.m. on a warm, bright summer evening in the suburbs of Sheridan, the residential streets that wind and wend and get people lost. And we're going to focus on a beautiful Victorian townhouse, end of a terrace, three stories, stone steps up to the front door. This house comes into view as Calisteria Softbinding rounds a corner in these winding streets. Calisterius has been on a mission, and with this house in view, the end of that mission is at hand. Chris, remind us what Cal looks like. Tell us a little bit about like how he's moving and what his attitude is at this moment and how he's feeling.
Cal has a thoughtful face, dark hair, and tends to dress in casual clothes, but normally fairly laid back, but now he's moving with purpose. Cal is, since the incident with the ghost train, Cal has been very keen to find out who is behind the Cult of the Endless Night, who the senior leaders are, where they're based, and what their agenda is. They send out these boxes with sort of spells and things for the subscribers to do, but with the ghost train summoning, it all went a bit too far. So Cal thinks they need to answer for what they did, and he's getting very close to finding where they're based.
What sort of research has led you to this house?
Cal has been doing a lot of cross-referencing of sort of civic records, deeds of ownership, looking into sort of things like shell companies and just sort of poring through town records. Not his normal type of book research. Mm-hmm. Normally he'll be delving into the occult, looking at sort of ancient tomes, but now he's just sort of flipping through dusty ring binders.
It's still very analog. This still isn't an online type of research. It's still like papers and things that were physically signed and all these kinds of things.
Yes, Sheridan's definitely not caught up with the digital age when it comes to civic records.
all your research has led you to this address. This is where those spell subscription boxes have been emanating from. How does Cal feel as he sets eyes on this building?
Well, when he set off, he was feeling sort of quite determined. But now he's here, now it's all become real. Now it's not just something that's written on the page. His pace has slowed a bit. He's lost a bit of that sort of determined edge because he's not entirely sure what he's going to find inside. He's kind of wishing he'd perhaps brought one of the other hunters with him. Perhaps a bit of muscle. Cal sort of draws to a stop outside the house and then looks up.
Perhaps actually draws to a stop a little way away from the house, maybe on the corner, because as you round the corner, you see that there's already somebody at the bottom of those steps leading up to the front door, an unfamiliar woman standing there looking up at the front door of this house. Brings you up short on the corner, and just as you're thinking, I wish I'd brought one of my companions with me, impossibly, Ginny Greenteeth is at your ear.
My Cal.
Oh, hello, Ginny.
What are you doing here?
I'm quite glad to see you, actually. You remember the endless night, the cult I've been investigating? This is where they're based. This is their headquarters. And I was just about to burst in there and, I don't know what. That was the extent of the plan so far. I was going to burst in and I guess play it by ear. But do you feel like bursting into a house with me?
Ginny puts a spliff in her mouth, lights it and takes a long drag.
I think maybe it's time we put these endless night fuckers to bed. What do you think, my man?
That's exactly what I had in mind.
Now that Calisterius has turned round and seen the woman at his shoulder, remind us what Ginny looks like.
Ginny is an older-looking woman. She presents as a lady in her late 60s, strikingly white, long hair, messily organised into a ponytail. She wears colours in the olive, moss and brown palettes, reflecting her Earth Mother status. She's quite small, quite spry, and although she looks quite frail, her eyes have got this fierce, flaming determination about them. She moves with a very easy way, and she just carries this magical Lady of the Woods presence wherever she goes. Most recently, she is almost always smoking something.
Ginny's in a mellow phase, let's say.
Ginny is in a bit of a... I disagree. She's in a bit of a fiery phase.
Interesting.
Taking to the flame, as she had in her last adventure, discovering this pyro... mania that she was able to create for years. All she was able to summon was wind and storm. And in the very moment of extreme anger that she felt in a previous adventure, she summoned fire, something she had vowed never to do because, of course, fire destroys and burns the forests.
Ginny, you're actually also heading to this address. Adrienne, one of Briar's colleagues from the National Trust, or should I say Robin Goodfellow's colleagues from the National Trust, got in touch with you asking for help with some sort of possibly seance, possibly exorcism. She didn't seem quite sure what exactly was needed, but she seemed convinced that a woman of your talents, of your particular interests, was what was needed here at this address.
I see. So maybe we don't go in all guns blazing in this particular instance, Cal. I know that you're a man of subtlety and of thought, deep thought. So what had you got planned before you turned up?
Well, all my effort has gone into finding this place. I guess I didn't sort of finish the plan. But if it's any reassurance, I don't actually have a gun, so all guns blazing can definitely take a back seat. Maybe we should just sort of sneak up and look through the window, whether conventionally or, you know, look through the window magically.
Well, you can look through windows physically. They are, of course, translucent, my lord. But if we didn't want to approach, then I could certainly open my third eye and see what's happening inside.
That sounds good. I'll open the letterbox and have a peek through.
And as these two discuss their angle of approach, whether to open the third eye or crack a window, Ellie,
mm-hmm.
talk to us about this woman standing at the bottom of these stairs, looking up at her childhood home.
She's in quite a power stance, but holding a duffel bag and wearing a backpack, looking up, sort of contemplative, not sure whether to just go straight up and knock or get the spare key out and let herself in, or to just go down the road to the pub for a bit.
Something is different. You've been away from town for a long time, and you couldn't necessarily expect everything to be exactly as you remembered it. But there are a couple of significant details. First of all, the house looks nicely kept. It hasn't gone to ruin. The windows look clean. The pointing looks well maintained. But as you're looking up the steps out the front door, you see something that wasn't there before. You see a plastic sign next to the front door that says, Taylor's Haunt, and an unfamiliar logo underneath that name. That name is unfamiliar, and also underneath the name, the logo, Voop Regeneration. And under that plastic sign, three key safes are stuck to the wall by the door.
That's mysterious.
Before Cal approaches the door, Ginny has spotted this Voop sign, and she grabs him by the shoulder and says, Calisterius, wait, look.
What is it?
That's the logo of Voop.
I'm imagining both of you just over the road, sort of huddled down behind the bonnet of a parked car at this point.
Underneath the street like that. It's really, really blindingly obvious that we're both there.
Ah, okay. Remind me why we hate Voop.
They are a construction regeneration company, a company that falls under the umbrella of Max Dashwood and Co. They're here to regenerate and to pull down the sacred and the sanctity of Sheridan.
Well, if they're involved with the running of the Endless Night, that, is weirdly disappointing.
In what way, my love?
I guess I was expecting some sort of occult horror behind it, not a
corporate
horror.
A corporate merger, you weren't expecting.
Yes.
Well, I've been called here to perform some sort of exorcism, so why on earth I'm here and why Voop would be involved? Perhaps they're not involved with what's going on inside. Maybe they're just taking over the street, house by house.
Mm. Ellie, as your character is contemplating this sign and these key safes on your childhood house, you can hear, like, not especially hushed, but urgent discussion behind you. It's a very quiet street, and even though they're across the road and behind a car, you can hear voices. Mm-hmm. As you notice those voices behind you, the front door of the house opens, and notice a couple of things. Electric light pours out down the steps, and this is unusual because the rest of the street is in darkness. All the street lamps are off. There don't seem to be lights on in any of the houses, or where you do see lights in windows, it's candlelight rather than electric light. Looks like the power's on in your old house. And two strangers pile out of the front door. Two men in their sort of late 30s. One is carrying a suitcase, like picking it up, ready to take it down the stairs. And the other one is fumbling with some keys. They pile out of the front door. It's an inward opening door, so the door opens inwards. They come out. The door starts to slowly shut behind them as the one with the keys starts to, in kind of a hurry, in kind of a panic, fiddle to open one of the key safes to put those keys away.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
No, well, maybe this is our chance to get in. I don't know who those people are, but it looks like they're running away from something. Perhaps we should go and investigate.
They did seem a little hustled and harried, didn't they? But maybe we can access those key safes.
Can we see from here what sort of combination the key safe was set to?
It would be impossible to read the combination from across the road, but Ellie's character might be able to see it.
I'm also out in the open, right? They're going to see me.
Yeah, they'll see you as they come down the stairs. The one with the suitcase, in fact, is already halfway down the stairs towards you and sort of locks eyes with you.
I'm going to confidently stride, run up the stairs, look at the guy with the key fumbling, go, all right, mate, I'll take that off you.
Oh, are you one of the residents?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm in a bit of a rush. My mum's on the phone. Can I just...
I'm sorry, I have the notes somewhere of... which resident are you?
Let me give you a hand. They're a bit tricky, aren't they? And I'm going to literally just gently but firmly take the keys from him.
And you can see in this man's face that he wants this to be an okay thing.
Yeah. So I just need to crack on.
Thank you. And I see you also have luggage. Are you looking for somewhere to stay? We are vacating Airbnb a little early. We could and if you would like to take up the rest of our stay, the deposit the refund may be easier.
Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Let me give you my card, and I'm going to hand over a card from my pocket.
Oh, thank you. We will contact. It's very nice. It's very nice flat.
Oh, brilliant! Looking forward to it.
Self-contained, has own kitchen. We left some stuff in the fridge. It will be lovely stay. You will enjoy.
Oh, thank you. Take care. Have a good journey.
Thank you. He just leaves you the keys. He stops messing with the key safe and just leaves you brilliant. The keys.
What a mug.
Cal, who on earth is that?
I really don't know, but I think this is our chance to get in. I'm not sure if she's supposed to be here either, but let's take advantage of this. So I think Cal is going to sort of hurry across the road and sort of try and tailgate through the door before it closes. Oh, hi, we're just coming in too. Hold the door, please.
No.
Pretty please?
You don't live here?
Yes, I do. I don't have anything to back that up with, I'm sorry. I would really like to come in.
I'm going to narrow my eyes. You look familiar.
That's funny. I was just thinking the same about you. Have you been to one of my book signings?
I wouldn't have thought so. Who are you, some famous writer?
Well, I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but yes. Perhaps we could continue this conversation inside.
No, now's not convenient, I'm afraid. You could come back another time, and I'm just going to shut the door.
Cal turns around to Ginny and shrugs. Well, I'm out of ideas.
Ginny's hiding in a bush, and she pops her head up and says, "Didn't go very well then."
No, I'm not really a people person, unless they're bringing me something to sign. Ginny, how about a bit of magic? Should we see what's going on inside?
If you bear with me a second, let me just see. Something doesn't sit right with me. Those people coming out, that strange woman that just entered, the voop. I think it's very strange. I need to think a bit more.
A little way down the street is a parked car with a man in it. Early 40s, sandy hair, nondescriptly handsome, slumped down in the driver's seat, arms folded, cap pulled down over his sandy hair, watching the house. A second person hustles up to this car and gets into the passenger seat. Chris, remind us what Kincaid looks like.
Mid-50s, reasonably dishevelled. He looks more tired than a man of his age should. Stocky, and like his clothes are ill-fitting. It's an ill-fitting suit. It's a nice suit, but it doesn't look particularly good because it doesn't really fit him.
Your car, the Morris Minor, is parked a couple of streets away because it's considered a bit too conspicuous for this kind of work.
With its fancy new monster cage.
Yes, all of that kind of stuff. Kincaid gets into the car, sits in the passenger seat next to another MI5 agent, Pete Bellamy. You've been assigned a partner for this particular operation. And in fact, it's Pete's op. And you are along for the ride because you have local knowledge. You can tell us how Kincaid feels about this, because it's kind of, on the one hand, a bit of humiliation, because you're technically more senior than Pete, and you should really be the lead agent on an operation, but he's in the lead on this one. But also, this is a non-crank hotline operation. Pete's been assigned to stake out the return to England of the scion of an organised crime family who's recently returned to these shores after some time abroad, to see what's up with that. And because Ed has spent so much time in Sheridan, Ed gets to be along for the ride. Also, you do have history with Pete. Something happened in Ed's past that got him assigned to the crank hotline. Pete was also involved in that situation and came out of it smelling like roses.
Kincaid's like reasonably happy to be on something that might come to something, a job that might come to something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he does resent really having to do anything on this job because he feels like it should be his.
As you slide into the passenger seat, Bellamy says, checks his watch and says, 22 minutes past rendezvous, Edward.
Yeah, well, yeah, I presume you're going to tell me that loads of stuff's happened in that 22 minutes.
Bellamy holds up a dictaphone, clicks the play button.
19:15. Subject seen entering premises of interest. Still no ETA from Kincaid. Unknowns in evidence appear to be attempting ingress.
Fine. I mean, you've got to admit it was pretty unlikely that it was going to happen in those 22 minutes.
I don't have to admit anything.
Well, I've got your burrito anyway.
He takes it. He puts the dictaphone back in the glove compartment, takes the burrito, takes it for the peace offering it is. He points you to the house over the road, you know, a few car lengths away, and you can see two men, one pulling a wheeled suitcase, coming your way on the opposite pavement. And you can see a wild-looking woman standing up to her waist in a bush, and Cal Hysteria soft-binding.
I think on seeing Cal and knowing he's sort of on a sort of stakeout situation, he goes, oh, for fuck's sake, and just puts his collar sort of up, sits down in the seat, just like tries not to be seen by Cal.
Well, if we can't talk our way in, which you've proven that you can't, my love, then let's think our way in. Ginny's going to take a big old drag on the spliff, blow out the smoke, and try and read and discern in the smoke what is going on. I would like to read a bad situation. So rolling sharp. So I get +2 on this.
Ooh,
it's double ones. That's a good start. +2.
First roll of the production.
So it's a 4 total.
Okay.
Is there anything Cal can do to help? Do I assist?
You
can
sound like you're just gunning for this place. Yeah.
Share it round, Jenny. Yeah.
Basically, no, because you could roll, but the most you could improve that by is a +1, and that's still a fail.
Yeah.
On the first floor, curtains are drawn back behind one of the windows and light floods out. And you see, framed in that window, looking directly at you, Dennis Grantham, the local postie. He pulls up the sash window and holds up a mobile phone and says, "You put that out or I'm calling the police."
Oh, what a dweeb.
"We can smell it from up here. We don't want to be smelling that in here. Don't do that in people's front gardens."
Good evening, Dennis, my love. I didn't realise you lived here. I think some local youth must have dropped this. I saw him smoking it earlier, but I chased him away. I'll put it out.
You better, and get out of here.
Oh, I'm here on a job, Dennis, but I'll try and be quieter, my love. You have a nice evening.
Fucking narc.
Takes a secret little drag and then stubs out the joint.
You hear the sash window slam back down and the curtains are drawn.
I march angrily out of the bush, up to Cal. "Some people don't know how to have any fun in this town. Now, come on, I'll see if I can talk my way in." And, okay. Waddle up to the front door.
You've got an invitation to be here.
I know. So I would like to ring the doorbell of the flat that I'm going into, and I usher Cal up towards him. Come on.
Great, yes. And this is another thing that Ellie, your character, would have noticed as you entered, is that there is an intercom system by the door with numbered flats on it. Not there last time you were at this house. You hear the buzz of Ginny ringing that doorbell. You hear it buzz way upstairs. This is a three-story, so it has cellar, ground floor, first floor, second floor, and an attic. The attic is the place you're particularly interested in.
Okay.
But you hear that buzzer going off on the second floor, and you're in the hallway on the ground floor of your childhood home. Parts of it are as you remember. The staircase up to the first floor is still in the same place. The door leading to the staircase under that, that goes down to the cellar, still where it used to be. But it's been redecorated and it's been subdivided. So there are more doors on this floor than you remember there being. How are you feeling and what do you do?
Pretty baffled, a bit annoyed. Gonna start nosing about, I think, as soon as I get in the door.
Off the ground floor, there is, like I say, there's stairs up. There are three doors leading off of the main hallway. One, you know, goes to an understairs cupboard. And there are two others. One is open. So if you try that doorknob, you can find that it opens into like a utility room with washing machine, dryer, deep freezer. And the other door, it has a number on it. So it looks like it's now the door of somebody's flat.
I'm just going to start going upstairs because I know where I'm going and what I need.
Up on the first floor, once again, the whole place has been redecorated with this kind of like dark, oppressive, ugly wallpaper with this kind of like jade pattern. So it's like dark green shot, like marbled with lighter green veins.
What an odd choice.
Yeah, it's baffling and it makes the place feel much darker.
Yeah.
But all the electric lights are working in here. So the hallway is light, the staircase is light. Again, on the first floor, there are three doors. Two of them look to go into flats. One is numbered and the other one isn't. And the third door on this floor looks to have been painted shut. From the flat with the number on the door, you hear the sound of the sash window being shut and curtains being drawn.
Yeah.
And sort of grumpy stomping about.
I'm going to keep going up. Okay. Until I get to the attic, hopefully.
You go up to the second floor. Several doors up here. There's two numbered doors that look to go into numbered flats. There is a slightly ajar door that seems to go into a bathroom. Like a full bathroom with a bath, shower, toilet, sink, etc. One that goes into a kitchen, and one that you remember from the layout is the door that contains like the airing cupboard, the hot water cylinder. Also here in the ceiling, there is the trap door that, if you can open it, brings down the ladder that leads you up to the attic. But there's no ring on it for a pole to attach to, and you don't see a pole for opening it either.
That's annoying. Can I reach it?
It's too high. This is a townhouse. It's you need something to stand on at bare minimum.
And there's nothing around that I can stand on?
No, the hallway is unfurnished.
I'm going to go in the bathroom and see if there's anything in the bathroom I can get to stand on. Anything I can poke with? A long pole of some kind? A plunger?
There's a plunger. Yeah. I don't think you could reach the ceiling with the plunger, but you could take it if you want it.
Foot vertical leap special ability now.
Yeah. I didn't go for spring legs.
And as you're poking around in the bathroom, you hear one of the doors on this floor open. From one of the doors on this flat, you can hear the sound of music playing. And the other one, the door opens and you hear a voice say, "Ginny, is that you?"
"Hello, yes, it's me, love. I'm here. Could you let me in, please?"
Yes, great. I'll buzz you in. Just keep going up the stairs and I'll leave the door ajar for you."
"All right, my love. Thanks a lot. Cal, let's go. And if anybody asks, you're my assistant. Oh, and we're doing an exorcism, by the way, so it might get a bit..."
"Oh, right. Okay, I think I've got the expertise for that. Don't worry."
"Excellent. Come on, let's go."
"Wait, so one second. You go on, Ginny. I'll catch you up. Which flat are you going to?"
"I'm going up to the second floor, flat number 203.
"Right, okay. I'm just going to go and quickly talk to those people who are leaving. When they were coming out, I wondered if they were involved with the Endless Night, but it didn't actually sound like it from what they were saying to that lady. I might just go and quickly talk to them." So Carol's going to put something in the door, like a fire extinguisher or something, just to stop it latching shut.
Fire extinguisher, flower pot, something like that.
Yes.
There's something around.
And he's quickly going to run out and see if he can catch up with the tourists who are leaving.
You can certainly catch up with them, yeah.
Oh, bollocks. Yeah. Down the car.
Yeah, Cal is running in the direction of your car.
Your seat is just reclining.
Yeah, you catch up with them, no problem.
Great. Oh, hi, excuse me. Sorry, to I don't want to hold up your journey or anything. I was just sort of looking around for holiday lets in the area, and I couldn't help but hear you say you stayed here with Airbnb.
I told you it would be easy. I told you it would be easy to find somebody else. That everybody here wants to stay in the Airbnb.
I was just wondering, you seem to be leaving early. Are you leaving early because it's bad facilities?
Can you roll investigate a mystery, please?
Ooh.
Roll plus sharp.
Okay.
Roll in.
Okay, well, here we go. Ah, no. So plus two for sharp. So that is 12.
Okay.
Oh!
Yeah. Stupid tower.
I can't see the tower results, but I could see that Josh was absolutely fuming.
Livid.
They look at each other, and there's a kind of an unspoken conversation about, like, how much of this do we tell this stranger? Actually, you should not stay there. You should not. It is we check out because strange things, the other one says. It was not clean. The pipes, they are full of something strange. The sink fills up with this gunk. It is horrible. I try to wash the dishes and is this sticky stuff. It is hot, bad. It smells terrible. And they seem to be feeding off each other's energy. The walls, they change. The size of the rooms is different when we go to bed. So when we wake up, and there's strange noises, and the pipes go bang, 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 and the lights flicker, and none of the electric things work, and it is not the relaxing English village holiday we were promised.
Oh, I'm sorry you didn't have a good time in our lovely village, but, well, that is definitely something strange. I guess the next question I'll ask is, what can it do? So has it hurt them or affected them in any way, or has it simply just sort of scared them?
Not hurt. No. We leave before anyone can be hurt. The electrics, the bulbs and things, they glow very bright. We worry that they burst, managed to avoid. But was difficult to leave. The door, it stick. And we pull and we pull and it pull back, and it take both of us to leave the flat.
Wow. Okay. Well, I hope the rest of your stay in town is a lot less spooky than that.
We get cab to next town over and get train back to St. Pancras now. We're not going to stay here any longer.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that, says Cal as he's hurrying away. Check out the library before you go. And Cal runs back into the house to try and catch up with Ginny.
You run back up the steps just in time to hear the fire extinguisher falls and rolls down the steps.
Right. Ah. Okay, so Cal will go and ring the buzzer for the flat that Ginny rang earlier. Hi, it's Cal. I'm Ginny's assistant.
That buzzer is probably going as Ginny is reaching the landing that Ellie's character is on.
Can I just quickly retcon? On the way up, do I know which flat that Dennis guy lives in?
Probably. You're a town gossip. You could. Oh, yes. And by seeing him through the window, you can figure out.
Yeah. So I'm just going to sneak up to his front door. I'm just going to lift the letterbox up. And I'm just going to cast just a minor incantation.
Sure.
And I'm just going to fill his apartment up with a smell of rotting egg and burning garbage. Because he's a narc and I don't like him very much. So pick on me, will you, Dennis? So I'm just going to fill his flat with farty smells and then run the stairs.
Great. You
presumably
do that.
Presumably as this multi-character farce has been going on outside. Yeah. Pete Bellamy has been talking extensively into his
digital. He's been taking notes, yep.
Does he have a name for Cal, or is he just...
He's just somebody? Like unknown male one. The only one he's got a name for is his subject, but he's just referring to her as the yes. subject or the person of interest.
Okay.
And he's also, like, every update, he's also noting, like, observed no movement from subject. Subject remains within the dwelling.
And has he said anything about the fact that there seems to be power in the house?
He hasn't mentioned that, no. But in between recordings, he is sort of, in that annoying way, sort of trying to mentor you a little bit. Looks like it might be a boring one, Ed, but we're not to interfere, just monitor her movements, so we don't need to do anything unless she exits the dwelling, and then we'll follow.
Ed's keeping stock of basically all the things about what's going on that he does know that Pete doesn't, so he can drop them in later and seem very informed about the whole thing.
Okay.
While hiding from Calisteria.
Yes.
Oh, look, it's noted local celebrity.
You might have noticed also, Ed, while Cal was talking to the holidaymakers, the propped door actually opened a little more and then shut hard on the fire extinguisher, and opened a little more and shut hard on the fire extinguisher until it managed to eject it. Ginny reaches the landing. The door to Adrienne's flat is cracked. And also, there's a strange woman there. The woman that you saw enter the building earlier.
Oh, hello, good evening. You're right.
Hello. Yes, hello.
I'm just popping through to that flat, so I just push past you there.
Yep, carry on.
Must be nice to have electricity, isn't it?
Lovely.
Got nothing in my house.
Oh.
All my meat's going to go rotten. freezer would have gone off.
They last about 48 hours if you don't open them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Don't open it.
I won't. Anyhow, I'll leave you to your evening.
All right, take care, bye.
Bye-bye.
Adrienne, hearing voices, opens the front door, and she's got the intercom phone to her ear as she opens the front door of her flat. She says, oh, hi, Ginny, come on in. Can I help you? You don't live here.
Just visiting a friend, yeah.
Who, if I could ask?
They're just a couple of French lads staying in an Airbnb here. Have you met them?
Oh no, I haven't met them, but I'm sort of aware of them, yes. They came round asking, I'm not sure they're having the nicest time.
Yeah, they mentioned that to me. I've not heard from them since yesterday, though. How are they getting on now? Have you heard from them since?
I haven't talked to them today. Come on, it should be open now, Cal, just push.
Have you had any issues in the building? Is it the building as a whole, maybe, or just there?
I'm sorry, are you just visiting, or are you a building inspector?
Yeah, very funny. No, it's just my dad's a tradesperson locally, so, you know, if there was, maintenance issues, he could help out. So I was just saying if there was...
Okay, well, the Airbnb's the next floor down, so that's the one you want.
Oh, thanks so much, that's great, cheers.
Cal, the door buzzes, and it opens just fine.
Well, then I come in just fine, and head up the stairs.
It's very possible that you just cross as Ellie's character is coming down to the floor with the Airbnb on it.
Yeah. Hi again. I think, are you sure we haven't met somewhere before?
Look, just because you think you're famous or something doesn't mean that everyone knows who you are.
Well, it usually does, or certainly around here.
What are you doing here anyway?
Oh, I'm just here with my friend Ginny. We're doing some work, very specialist work.
What, writing work?
Yes, writing work.
Mm.
And I do a theatrical wink.
What, at her?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
My character would like to investigate a mystery, because there is some weird stuff going on.
Cool.
My family home has become something unrecognisable, really.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people, all of whom are acting really strangely. I think maybe one of my moves comes in here, which is that I have the sight, which is taken from the spooky playbook, which means I can see the invisible, especially spirits and magical influences, and may communicate and maybe even make deals with the spirits that I can see. And it gives me more opportunities to spot clues when investigating a mystery.
Perfect.
So it feels like that might be useful.
Yep, go for it.
Okay. I thought I'd avoid this by not using the cursed tower, but yeah, no, that's... I've rolled a 4 on the dice, and I have a +1 for sharp, so 5. Cool.
While you're having this conversation with Calisterius, the light bulb on the landing that you're both talking on is gradually getting more bright and more intense, and you start to hear an electric noise coming from it, you know, when you can hear the buzz of current through the filament. Just as you're starting to think about pulling these things together in your head, the light bulb bursts and you both take 1 harm.
Ooh. Ouch.
Soz Cal, suffering my bad roll.
So this landing is cast into darkness and shattered glass pops out and slices across both of you. Kincaid, across the road, you can see the lights in one of the windows in the front of the house go out.
And you can see that as he's winding the seat back up. I think it's an old school. You have to wind it with that little dial. It's a laborious effort to get back to eye level with Pete Bellamy.
Well, let's see a roll for it then, Rob.
Act under pressure. So you mean to tell me we're not going to do anything about any of this that's going on?
What would you say is going on, Ed?
Well, I mean, this isn't... like. Why does the house have power? Why is the author here? Why is there strange
woman... I'm sorry, the what?
The Pokemon merchant, the Calisterius soft binding.
Oh, I see. You know one of these people and you only thought to bring it up now.
Yeah, I just reclined the seat there for a bit of a kip. Like, I was trying not to be seen by that one.
Well, I suppose you are on this op for your local knowledge, Kincaid. What can you tell me about this person?
Yeah, he's an author, and if he's out of the house for anything, well, out of his library for anything other than a book signing, then there's probably something weird going on.
Oh, Kincaid, we're not here on one of your weird crank missions. This is actual security services work.
So we're just going to, you know, I'm telling you that something is going on inside that house, something weird, and you're just going, oh, we'll just... you know, watch her go in and out, and then call it good.
I'm going to stick to the mission briefing, which is to observe the subject, note her movements and significant interactions, and report back. Thank you for the extra detail on one of those significant interactions. Do you have anything else to add?
I just will see back. Well, you know, tell me when she comes out then.
This is precisely the sort of off-book thinking that got you into trouble, Kincaid. You'd think you'd have learned.
Well, some things never change.
Ginny, Adrienne's flat is open and she welcomes you in. Cal, are you still heading up after this bulb has hurt you?
Yes. Yeah, I think I will. I'll sort of try and catch up.
Adrienne welcomes you into her flat. She shuts the door behind you both. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I'm still working out exactly how all of this works. I don't know whether it's like a ghost or a demon or whether we need an exorcism or a laying. I've been trying to research.
Adrienne, my love, it's okay. You can calm down. The experts are here now. We're going to help this person. Just give me the key details and the facts and we'll take it from there.
Okay. Yeah, so new to all of this. I suppose we all are. Maybe
the
you're
facts,
not.
The facts, Adrienne, come on.
That something's in the house with us. A spirit, a demon or something, I don't know. The pipes make noises. The doors, sometimes they open perfectly fine and sometimes they stick and resist. The electrics are very odd. The lights flicker.
How is it that you have power in here? The rest of the village is subject to blackouts.
I don't know. We thought it was best not to ask the landlords, because then they might realise that we've got it and, I don't know, that it's costing them money and they might turn it off or something like that. So we haven't rung Winona about that. But we're just not questioning that at the moment.
No, I understand. Oh, Cal, there you are. Could you write all this? You're writing all this?
Yeah, I'm making notes.
Oh, Cal, love, you're bleeding a bit.
Oh, yes. Dab at that a little bit.
What happened? How did that happen?
One of the light bulbs exploded. Is that something that happens a lot around here?
It was just flickering and like the microwave turning on when nobody was in the room and that sort of thing up to now. But that things are starting to it's starting to get worse, and that's not the first bulb that's gone. Well, I think it might be the first one that's fully exploded and scattered glass around.
Oh, lucky me.
Yeah, I think Dennis's TV went the other day. The screen is just snow now. It looks like it's been overloaded.
Oh, what a pity.
So does this sound like... What do you think it is, and what do we do?
So, correct me if I'm wrong.
The pipes. They're not just making noise, but sometimes the water's all right, and sometimes the shower just like sprays you in this foul smelling blacky green stuff.
How very strange. That's very
so. Odd. You know, I saw that, and I thought about The Exorcist, you know, the film, and thought, who do I know?
Yes, I agree. So nobody in particular has. You don't think there's an individual here that's possessed. You think it's the house itself.
Yes, possessed, haunted, some whatever is the. I don't know what the terminology should be.
I'm getting some very strange vibes.
But it's everywhere. House. It's not one particular flat. It's all of them. Everybody's having this trouble. It seems like.
And are people acting strangely at all?
People are worried and stressed and scared about the fact that they don't know whether they can get clean water and sometimes they can't get out of their flats.
Well, it's best if you leave now, okay? Leave right. us to do our work here. It's too dangerous for you to remain. So I suggest sure. you go somewhere that's safe, that's secure, yeah. and I will call you if anything comes up. But you don't want to be around when you see what we're going to do here.
All right, okay. I'll be on the mobile if you have any more questions, but thank you. I honestly was sort of worried that you... I'm sort of interested in what you're going to do. I don't know, if you're taking notes, maybe I can look at them afterwards, but if it's going to be dangerous, I really don't want to be here. I'm not used to all of this yet.
No, I understand. It might be something strange, or it might just be a series of coincidences. So voltage surges in the electricity, plumbing issues.
As she's saying this, she's like putting a light jacket on and sort of packing her wallet and her phone and her keys and things.
Yep, and Ginny's got her hand on Adrian's back, just kind of like, okay, off we go then, my darling, here
and
we go.
And she goes to the door of the flat and pulls down the handle and rattles it and can't get the door open. Oh no, this is what I'm talking about. See, it worked fine when I let you in and now it won't.
Oh, it's probably just jammed or something. Oh, Calisteris, would you help her?
Yes, of course. So I'll go and assist to try and sort of pull the door open.
Can you roll, please? Plus cool.
Okay.
This is acting under pressure.
Right.
Try and open this door really cool.
So,
with shades on.
So, I think I can use my move. I've read about this sort of thing.
Okay.
So I could roll plus sharp instead of plus cool when acting under pressure.
Perfect.
So
what did you read?
I've read about sticky doors before.
Doors.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Please do tell us what, you know, make the roll and then tell us what it is that you read about this.
Okay. So that's a four. So plus sharp is six. I've read about many things that are strange or spooky, but I've also read quite a few sort of DIY manuals about sort of warped door frames and stuff. And I'm fairly confident I can sort of get it open. So I do a bit of a sort of bit of tugging, bit of jimmying.
And it sticks and it sticks and it sticks. And then it suddenly, on sort of the third or fourth pull, stops sticking. And not just stops sticking, it's not just you pulling it open, the door flings you backwards into the room, and you crash into the coffee table. Scatter some mugs and glasses. The coffee table cracks. You slam into it in the small of your back, go sprawling for one harm. And the door slams shut again.
Oh, Cal, look what a mess you've made.
I did at least get it open.
As it closes again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Adrian. He will pay for the damages, of course. This door thing, is this happening a lot?
It's never done exactly that before. Maybe I just haven't been strong enough. But the sometimes opening fine and sometimes being stuck shut is a thing that's been happening.
Ginny's going to go over to the window and try and open the window to see if there's a similar issue.
It sticks.
Doesn't want us to leave.
Mm.
All right, lovies. It's me, Matt, your compere. I hope you've enjoyed Act 1 of Vigil Tailor-Made. There will now be an interval of 2 weeks, but in the meantime, we invite you to join us backstage next week for a look at how these characters come to know each other, especially our mysterious newcomer. Here come the credits, and make sure you stay tuned for the epilogue. Believe me, you're not going to want to miss this one. This has been Vigil, a Main House production from Merely Role Players. It stars Ellie Pitkin as Chris Buxey as Calisterius Softbinding, Chris McLennan as Ed Kincaid, and Josh Yard as Ginny Greenteeth, with Chris Starkey as Cameron Jarvis. I'm Matt Boothman and I play the supporting cast. Editing and sound design by me, and the theme music is by Alexander Pankhurst. We were playing Monster of the Week, a role-playing game by Michael Sands, published by Evil Hat Productions. You can find Monster of the Week at genericgames.co.nz. Merely Role Players is a Foggy Outline production in association with Blackshaw Theatre Company. Until next time, if drama be the food of life, play on.
Once upon a time, there was a glade in the forest, and in the glade there was a cottage, and in the cottage lived a witch with no familiar, and a hunter with no prey. Around the edge of the glade was a ring of toadstools, a fairy ring, and whenever the witch or the hunter tested the boundaries of the glade, whenever they took a step across that ring of toadstools, they found their next step landing gently on the threshold of the cottage once again. There were no monsters in the glade, only twittering birds and peace and quiet. But someone who needs to fight will always find something to fight, even in the absence of monsters.
That bird doesn't stop tweeting its fucking head off. I'm going to shoot that little fucker because I am so sick of constant tweet, tweet, tweet in my fucking ear. I just want to get out of this place. And you're doing nothing about it. You're just sitting there reading all the books that are on the walls, looking at the artwork. It's driving me mad. Look, you've got to do something about this. You know magic. You've done magic before. Please get us out of this awful fucking cottage.
I cannot. He's gone. Without him, I'm less than nothing.
Oh, pull yourself together, you stupid girl. We've got to get out of this place. I'm going absolutely mad here. How long have we been here for?
I don't know. Time here. Who knows what it could mean? Time here is measured in moons and seasons, not what we are used to.
Right, I'll be right back. And I walk out the door with shotgun in tow, and you hear a blast and a loud tweet, and I walk back in. Sorry, I wasn't listening to a word you just said, then that bird was driving me so mad. Moons, is it? Moons? The moon doesn't stop shining. There's always moons. There's like four of them. Which moon are you talking about? Oh, please, just get me out of this fucking cottage. I'm going mad.
As time is reckoned in this place, how long does it take for the hunter to stop rattling the bars? Or does that never cease?
I think there's been an awful lot of pacing. I think we can assume the other time Cameron's been there, the bars have been rattled. He's walked out of that circle about 10,000 times, only to have the same thing happening. So, you know, maybe 10,001 is the winner. I'll be right back, Clarissa. Oh, God. And he just walks. He walks out and then walks back into the door again. Oh, God. Right. Okay. Let's get you a new ghost. Where can I get you a ghost?
There can never be another. There can never be another like him.
He was awful. He was an awful, awful person.
He was half my soul.
The good half or the bad half? I'm going with the bad half. He was awful. I've met someone like him. He was awful too, but not quite as awful. I know another one. Do you want him? You can have him. He's dreadful. Just take him. If I find him, I'll give him to you.
Leave me. Just do what you must to survive here. Half my soul is gone and I am half in hell already.
Do you always talk like this? Is this how you talk? Because you've been whittling on about this for, what is it, 20,000 moons? How many moons? And you magic types, just keep whittering on in this silly little voice all the time. Right, okay, this is it. We're going, Clarissa. You're coming with me. I'm not leaving you, because, you know, that'd be a bad thing to do. And I'm not a bad person. Someone told me repeatedly I'm not a bad person, so I'm going to believe them. You're coming with me. We're going to walk out. We haven't tried the toastal thing together at the same time. Let's try that. I've gone, you've gone. Let's go together.
Why? Why do you want to leave? Why would you want to take me? We know nothing of each other. We're cast into this circumstance by chance.
I just assumed you'd want to come, I guess. You don't want to come? Do you want to go and get a hamburger again? A cheeseburger? Watch Jurassic Park?
What? I don't recognise any of the things that you're referring to.
What? Who are you? Are you not a human? Are you human? You're human, aren't you? Are you human?
He gets out a dictaphone and clicks the play button, and his voice comes out of it saying,
"I can't find the song down, and his voice comes out of it."
Is that what he says? Sorry, wrong recording.
He didn't say anything that sounded like her name.
No, I don't think so. Oh well.
Bizarre.
Where was I? Bellamy holds up a dictaphone, clicks the play button, and his voice comes out of it, saying, "What am I saying that's triggering that?
I don't know.
That?
What is it? An echo or an echo?
Yeah. They've got one in each room. I don't know how I turn off the...
How can I rephrase this?
Dictaphone.
This is a weird challenge.
Escape room, what are you saying? Yeah.
Pulls out. Third time lucky?
Foggy Outline. Undivide your world.